Continue in Ephesians. We have gone through Christmas, we've gone through New Year's. Now we're back to where I had left off in Ephesians chapter 1. So God's Word has a whole lot to say to us. And as I prepared, I thought, well, I can't do all of that one time. I need to do it over a variety of period of time. So I want to read, I'll start reading verse 15 through verse 18, but I'm going to focus in on verse 18. In particular, Ephesians 1, start reading verse 15. It says, "For this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what are the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might." And then it continues. But I'll look at primarily the first part of verse 18. It says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened." The eyes of your heart may be enlightened. What do we mean by the eyes of your heart? Well, suggesting things that those things mean. So the first thing on your outline is, I simply ask the question, what does eyes, heart, and enlightened mean? He prayed that that would happen, that their eyes of their heart would be enlightened. So what is he talking about? Let me suggest some thoughts about that on your outline. We think about the eyes. Obviously, he's talking about more than these physical eyes. He's talking about the perception of our heart and our life. And in Paul's description of what God called him to do when he met him on the road to Damascus in Acts 26, he talked about one of the things that God called him to do. And so I've listed that on your notes. He said, God has called him to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. One of the tasks that God gave Paul to do, he said he was to share Christ, to open their eyes. So what do we mean, open our eyes? It means, as I think about it, it means to give us an understanding. It means to give us a perception about what's going on. And that God's Spirit will do that as I think about it, to open their eyes. Another way of thinking about it is it's mental vision. You can see something beyond what you can see with your physical eyes, but with our spirit, with our soul. So he talked about to see spiritually, to perceive what God's doing. So when he talked about opening their eyes, he revealed that truth to them. Have you ever had God open your eyes? You study, you read, and all of a sudden that you see it. We can't describe that, but you know what I'm talking about. You said, oh, I see it. I get it. I understand it. And so when you talk about opening the eyes of our heart, you're talking about that perception, the eyes. The second thing is our heart. The eyes of our heart. Obviously, he's talking about something other than physical heart. When we think about heart in the Bible, I don't know what comes to your mind, but Jesus used the word heart a number of times to describe the relationship between us and him. He talked about pure in heart. He talked about a heart that's receptive to what God wants. So when we think about heart, I think it's that part of us that maybe the essence of our spirit, the essence of our being, that mind, will, that choice that we make. The scripture I've listed says in Romans, "For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." So we talk about that heart, that part of us that chooses to receive Christ, that responds to the message of Jesus, that not only hears the message, but sees it and receives it, takes it into our inner being. It's that part of us that we make choices with, that part of us that we reason. I guess we'd say it's what I am in spirit, or the essence of my being. It was my whole heart. is more than just my thinking. It involves the essence of my being. So we talk about people who have a heart for something. It's an attitude, a concept about who they are. So he's talking about, he prayed that our heart, the eyes of our heart, our devotion, our emotion, our will would be committed to Christ, to be enlightened by Him. I believe that Christian's life needs to be more than just mental choice. There's a heart choice. There's a devotion to it, a commitment to it that he talks about in the heart. The third area is enlightened. He says, may the eyes of your heart be enlightened. The scripture I've listed in a note says, when Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world, he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And I think about a light, God illumines, he reveals, he makes known truth to us. That's part of the work of ministry of the Holy Spirit, to make clear, to understand. Or another word might be insight into Scripture or into what God's saying to us. So he prays that the eyes of their heart might be enlightened or truth revealed to them, that they might comprehend or understand. It's sort of like I was saying earlier about seeing. You read a passage or you study it or you meditate on a particular truth, and all of a sudden you say, oh, I understand. I get it. That enlightenment, that reveal, that truth that you see. One of the reasons that we do Bible study together is that we want to understand more about that passage of Scripture. And by sharing with one another, we get a better understanding. So he prays that the eyes of the heart will be enlightened. Is that all right to pray for one another now? That God would do that for us. I believe that when we seek this, the enlightenment of the eyes of our heart, we will find a deeper commitment. So the next thing on your notes is, admit that my heart needs enlightenment. Admit that my heart needs enlightenment. The scripture passage says, these things we speak not in words with which man's wisdom teaches, but which Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can we know them because they are spiritually discerned. I think sometimes we forget that I still need enlightenment. I think sometimes we say, well, I know Jesus, I've been saved, I got it all. Not yet. So I need to admit that my heart needs this enlightenment from God. Notice he said that which Holy Spirit teaches. And dealing with spiritual things, with he brings those to our mind. But he said the natural man, the person without the Spirit of God, does not understand the things of God. Now, we think about that as lost people, unbelievers, don't understand the things of God. You've talked to people who don't know Jesus and tried to explain to them things that you understand about God, about salvation, about who Jesus is, and you can tell they don't get it. They don't understand what you're talking about. So they need the enlightenment of God's Spirit to reveal that truth to them, the natural person. The Holy Spirit of God needs to reveal that to them. Because he said they're foolishness to him because they're spiritually discerned. So we need the enlightenment of God's Spirit to reveal the truth to us and help us to see that. We apply that to unbelievers. But is it still true that as Christians, if we operate only in our human side, that we still need the enlightenment of God's Spirit? Because the natural man, even if that person has been saved, still needs the enlightenment of God's Spirit to reveal the truth of God to us. And so I need to admit that there's still room for more understanding and more enlightenment in my heart, in my inner being, by God. I am always concerned when I hear an individual say to me, and I've heard it a few times, well, I've been in Bible study so long, I don't need to go anymore. I've heard that. You mean you've got it all? You know all there is to know about God, about salvation, about the Word? No. I need to admit there's still a lot more I don't know. In fact, sometimes we say, intelligent people discover that when they find out more, they discover that there's still a whole lot more that they still don't know than what they already know. And Christians need to be, I believe, saying, God, I need this enlightenment. I always need further instruction and teaching and revelation of truth from you, from your word. So I need to admit that my heart still needs that enlightenment. The next area is I seek God's enlightenment of my heart. I want the enlightenment that God gives to the human heart, to the spirit, to the soul. The scripture says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So I'm asking God, God, show me your truth. God revealed your word to me. God, help me to understand it. God, help me to see what you want. It says, God who said, light shall shine out of darkness has shown in our hearts. God brings light to our soul as we open His Word, which I'll talk more about the Word in a minute. But I want God to reveal His truth to me. I want Him to enlighten my soul. Because after all, He's the only one who's really going to be able to do that. The truth of God in our heart, in our inner being, is something that we say, God, I'm coming seeking you. Another way of saying it, I ask Holy Spirit of God to reveal truth to me. We're aware, and thought about a lot of times, when we read this book, the author of this book is God, through the Holy Spirit, right? Is the author who wrote this book, who gave it, directed his writing, still alive? Can you open it, and as you read it, say, I want you to enlighten my mind and heart to what you meant by what you said when I read it? I'm convinced that there's room for us always to keep on seeking God's enlightenment, God to reveal His truth, to show me what's there. Sometimes when you study Scripture or you discuss it, do you ever get in a discussion and you don't agree on something? Now, you can do two things with that, at least two. One, you can say, well, you're wrong and go about your way. Or you can go home and meditate on it and start studying and see if there's anything true to that or not and see if you can learn something from that. And if you go home and look at it, evaluate it, God may show you something you didn't know that you didn't know. The Holy Spirit of God reveals the Word. I'm glad He's there that when we open this book at any time to say, Dear Lord, as the author of this book, I want you to enlighten my heart. Now, notice He's saying not just my mind, but my spirit, my soul, my being is being revealed the truth to me. So I ask the Holy Spirit to do that. On the other side of your notes, we talk about the enlightenment. Seek enlightenment of my heart from the Scriptures. Seek enlightenment of my heart from the Scriptures. What I'm suggesting is I want the Word of God to become incorporated, to become embedded in my own heart and life. I don't want to just know it or study it. I want it to come and enlighten my heart. Notice this first scripture as Jesus talked to the disciple, or two of the men rather, on the road to Emmaus. As He talked to them about things that was happening, He said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then He opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and He said to them, thus it is written that Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in His name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. When Jesus was trying to explain what had happened to Him, what did He go? What did He use? He went back to Scripture to explain the resurrection and all that had happened to Him. But notice He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. And He reveals the truth to them from the Scriptures. He applies the Scriptures to their life. So when I open the Bible and looking at Scripture, I'm saying, God, reveal your truth to me through the Word. I believe that God speaks to us primarily through this book. So that's why I need to be reading it, but not only reading it, studying it, meditating on it, living on, trying to live it out. Now, when I read Scripture, what is the goal when I study or read Scripture? So I can say, well, I read it. Or maybe at the end of the year, I read the Bible through. That's a good thing to do. But is there something more to it? Is there something that I want to say, God, what do you want me to understand about this Scripture? What is it? What understanding, what truth do you want me to get from this that I'm reading and studying it? And ask Him through the Word to reveal truth where? Not only to my mind, but to my heart. So that I accept it, I adopt it. Jesus talked about in the wise people who hear the Word and do it. So what I'm suggesting is I want my heart to be involved when I read it, that God will open it and it will become applied to me. And I leave saying, God, thank you for talking to me. What do you want me to do about what I just read? What understanding do you want as I read that? The other scripture passage says, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Word of God is living and active. Does God's Word ever cut? Does it ever convict you? You don't like it. It hurts. But not only does He convict us, He tells us what to do about it. He tells us how to get forgiveness and how to move in the direction He wants us to go. It's living and active, able to judge the thoughts. And I'm grateful as we read this book that God's Spirit will take this Word and apply it to our heart and say, oh, and we look at it here. What does it mean to me? What am I going to do with it? What am I going to do about it? I seek the enlightenment that God gives through His Word. My conviction is we need to be in it probably more than we are. Does the Lord ever convict you about being in His Word? Does He ever say to you, spend more time on TV than you do in His Word? Or does He ever say you spend more time with some activity or some game than you do in His Word? My prayer is that God will cause us to fall in love with His Word and me to fall in love, because when it's in alignment in my heart, I love it. And I rejoice when I find individuals saying, I fell in love with God's Word. Because when you fall in love with God's Word, which enlightens our heart, really who you fall in love with? God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave us His Word. And so my prayer is that I will seek enlightenment from the Scriptures. What does the Bible have to say? I'm still convinced that one of the number one questions I need to ask about any issue is, what does the Bible have to say about it? What does God reveal about it? What principle? Now, I recognize there are places that God doesn't always give you a direct answer and say, do this or don't do that. But are there truths and principles in this book, if you start looking for them, that will apply to every situation you deal with, that will give you understanding and insight in what to do? It will. Suppose you go down and you see this bright, shiny, new vehicle that you think, I need. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that says, buy that car or don't buy that car. But there are principles in the Bible that says, now, you need to be a good steward of all that God's given you. And you need to not be in a place where you can't pay your debts. And all of a sudden, you know, you begin to apply those principles. And you begin to say, well, I guess I can't do that. I need to go buy this other used vehicle over here that costs me a lot less that I can afford, not put me in bondage. There are principles like that, whether it be that or whether it's relationships. Sometimes a guy or gal gets going interested in another person, and I like them, I love them, but then their scripture says, well, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Does that have anything to do with that relationship? Absolutely. And it'll guide you. There are principles all through the book. So if I start looking, God's Spirit will enlighten me as to the truth in the Word. So I encourage you to be involved somehow in the Word. Now, I realize that we are already into this year, several days. But if you haven't committed to begin maybe a Bible reading plan, I would challenge you to read through the Scriptures or to commit yourself to read the Bible every day, to study it. Now, on the table out back, or out front, I guess it is, there are four different Bible reading plans to read the Bible through in the year. We say, well, I'm already late. Well, just keep on going and go into next year. But my concern is not that you always do the reading the Bible through, but you end the Word somehow all the time. And I don't know whether you're, I guess you're like me. Sometimes if I don't have a plan, I don't do it. I say I'm going to read whatever, but unless I plan on disciplining myself to read through the New Testament or Old Testament or some passage of Scripture or some direction, I probably don't do it. When you read Scripture, even though you read it through 3 or 4, 6, 8, or 10 times, are you going to discover insights from that Scripture when you read it again that you didn't see the last time? Or you're going to be reminded of truths that you already knew that you've kind of forgot about, but we need to be in this book. Did you realize that probably the devil knows that if you're in this book that you're going to grow? Because one of the hardest things that is harder for us to do is discipline ourselves to be in the book. We can always start and the phone rings or we think of another job I need to do or something comes up or, I need to go do this. Or you get hungry or whatever. You realize that the devil knows that if you're in this book and trying to apply these principles, you have a heart for it, that he's not going to be able to deal with you as well, so he wants you out of the book. So my challenge encourages us this year. Now, last week, several people committed to be involved in reading. And my goal is not saying you've got to read it through every year. If that's something God needs you to do, then do it. If he reads you and challenges you to read the New Testament through, do it, or a certain book. But I want to challenge you, in your mind, set up some kind of plan, either through a certain books or a Bible reading plan or something, so that you can have God enlighten you. Because if he's going to enlighten you in the Scriptures, guess what? You've got to be in the Word. Kind of hard to enlighten you from Scriptures only until you're reading it and you're studying it. So my challenge, he prayed that the eyes of the heart may be enlightened. I want that. And I want to expose myself to the opportunities. The last thing in your notes, continually seek enlightenment of my heart. Jesus talked about asking and seeking in the passage that's on your notes. Keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who searches finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Keep asking. Now, some translations don't use the word keep. It just says ask, it says seek and knock. But the nature of those words actually mean keep on doing that. Now, how often do I need to do that? Can I do it once and say I've got it done? Or do I need to keep asking, seeking, knocking? Because he said, if I ask, I'll find. If I seek, I'll find. I'll ask, it'll be given. If I knock, the door will be open. What I want to say to myself is, Lord, there's a whole lot about you that I still don't know. I want to know you better. I think every one of us would agree there's a lot about the living God and this heart relationship, not just my mental, but my soul, my being, that I want to know about God. I want to meet him and encounter him, know him better. It's expressed in the other passage of Scripture that I've listed from Paul as he writes about his relationship to God, about knowing him. He said, not that I've already obtained it, I've already become perfect, but I press on so I may lay hold of that which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I suppose if there's anybody in Christian history that knew God, it had to be Paul. He had some marvelous encounters with God. I want you to notice what he says. He didn't say, I got it all when I met God, Jesus, on the road to Damascus. And I got, you notice what he's saying? He's saying, I haven't got there yet. Brothers and sisters, may we never feel like we've got there yet. We rejoice in what he's given us, but we're not where he wants us to be. He said, I forget the past. I press on what God has before me. And so I want to keep being one of those who keeps on seeking that the eyes of my heart will be enlightened all the time. All the time. So my prayer is that. I need to find those. I know I got a quote I want to do on the bottom, so I'll find them. So my prayer is, and I hope that all of our prayers is, I want to leave here today with a goal that God, I want you to continue to enlighten my heart, not just my mind, but my devotion, my commitment, my loyalty to Jesus Christ. Can we grow in that? Is there room for all of us to grow a little bit more in our devotion, in our emotion, and our commitment to Christ? He might open our eyes to see more than He wants us to see. Because I got a feeling there's a whole lot more about Him that He wants to show us than we've learned so far. My impression is that when I get to heaven, I'm going to learn stuff I didn't even think about learning. But I want to know more of it now. Can we know more of it before this year's out? Can you, as you read the Word, as you pray and you seek, can you ask God to enlighten your, open your eyes, to enlighten your heart to the truth of God? And every time you leave, come, if the Lord tarries this year, you can have a greater insight and understanding of Christ and of God and of His Word than you had today. Is that worth seeking? I believe it is. And so my challenge is, ask God, and pray for one another that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that we'll know the things that are there. And I want to look at the rest of that, Lord willing, next week. As you study, God reveals things. This morning, Karen and I read our... We don't always do this together, but we were reading our devotion this morning. And I caught an insight I'd never gotten before today in reading the Scripture about Jesus talking about leaving everything and following Him. But this quote caught my attention. Every loss leaves space that can be filled by God's presence. Every loss leaves space that can be filled by God's presence. To me, that's awesome. Whether it's loss of loved ones or family or health or whatever, to me, that was a helpful insight that God gave me this morning. You suppose He wants to do that all the time for all of us? As we open the Word, as we open our hearts, as we pray. Sometimes it doesn't come. Sometimes it just comes when you're meditating. You'll just be praying, meditating, all of a sudden something comes to your understanding. Oh, He reveals that. And I believe that if that happens this year, it'll be a better year. So I want to seek the enlightenment of the eyes of my heart be enlightened by Jesus. Now, as I began to mention earlier, the only way you can get that is if you know Jesus. You realize that you can't have any of that until you know Christ as Savior and Lord. The Spirit of God is the one who revealed it to you. So if you want to know about the reality of what life is about and the joy and the meaning of life, you need Jesus first. So my prayer is that today, if you don't know Jesus, you'd give your heart to Christ. You'd ask Him to come and live inside you and trust Him to open your mind and heart to the rest of the things that God has for you. As a Christian, I hope we will say, God, I want to be one of those. I commit myself to keep seeking the opening of my eyes and my heart to be enlightened by You. I'm going to be looking for that this year. Maybe other decisions need to be made, but those are things I want to think about. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank You for being here today. Thank You for bringing us to this place of worship and for what You've spoken to each of us about. I thank You, Lord, that You know how to get to our heart, to our inner being.